Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into Sunday morning here at Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled, Right There. Our scripture lesson today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting in the 29th verse. And as you're looking that up, you may notice I'm moving with a little bit of pain today. At the beach, I was mining for gold, and I hurt myself. But don't worry, it's just a minor injury. You know, nothing is built in America anymore. Everything seems to be built elsewhere. And my television, I was looking at it the other day, said, built in Antenna. I'll be honest with you, I'm not even sure where that country's at. I never understood why they called dentures, dentures. They missed a golden opportunity to name them correctly. Shouldn't they be called substitutes? No? All right. This past week, the other day, I was sitting in this restaurant and I was eating, and there was an older couple at the booth behind me, and I couldn't help listening to them. And they were at that age where they really couldn't hear each other that well, and the conversation was making me snicker. You know, that Frank and Alice, I could hear their names. Frank, why are you eating this? Alice, I didn't order this. Why are you making me eat this? And they were going back and forth. And they made me laugh. And finally, Frank said to Alice, he said, hey, did you hear our neighbor died? And Alice said, who, Ray? And Frank said, Alice, don't you think it's too early to celebrate? No? Come on, these are good ones. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 29. For the sermon titled right there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the desert. And there you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way until you reached this place. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Would you please join with me? Father, as we come before you, strengthen us for this sermon. Let these words be heard that we need. Let us be reminded, uplifted. Let us be prepared to walk from here, Father, shining that light that we may talk and lift up others' burdens by telling them about the love of Jesus. Let our walk be strengthened from these words given by you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, amen. So once again, we are back from our great, once a year, all-encompassing family vacation. Now we take little vacations here and there and we do little things. But once a year, we bind together as a family, load up the family truckster, and take off for where everybody wants to go, the beach. Now, I am not in that vein. I could go to the beach, or I could go to the mountain, or I could go anywhere. But my family likes to go to the beach, and as I am outruled, we go to the beach. And we load up and we go, and we see things, and we experience stuff. And once again, everything I saw over those past 7 days, I could write 100 sermons. And of course, today was inspired. But this beach week was like no other. Not that I've had, not that we've experienced yet. You see, we returned back on Friday, and it's a 4-hour-plus drive coming back home from the beach. We got back on Friday evening, unloaded the truck, and then on 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, whatever it was on Saturday morning, Wendy and I piled back into the family truckster, and we drove 2 hours back to the east so I could officiate at a friend of mine's daughter's wedding. That's what my vacation was like. Come back off vacation and right back into it. See, but this wedding brought something to me. And as I began to watch it unfold, I began to see something speaking. It was supposed to start at 3 o'clock. I have never, now get this, I'm going to tell you this story. I never met the bride. Until that day, if she'd have walked up and smacked me in the head, I wouldn't have known who she was. I went there simply because her stepdaddy, who loves her, and I work with him, wanted me to come be the preacher at the wedding. I had never met his wife. I had never met any member of this family. And it was an interesting thing that we were walking into. Because my good friend, his wife, had four children from a previous marriage. And she is Latin. And so you can imagine how big this wedding was going to be. And how crazy it was. And when the members of the family started getting mad at each other, they spoke to each other in Spanish at a rapid rate of return. I didn't know what they were saying. When I walked in, I said, "Hey, here's who I am." My buddy was there and he parked us. And I came in, I said, "Hey, where's the bride?" And the bride looked out the door from where she was being prepared and went, "Hi." And then the door went shut. And that was the last I saw of her. And then I met the groom. And to say the groom was nervous would be an understatement. I believe if I could have done it, and I thought about it, although I know the consequences would have been almost death from a certain member of my family, who I shall not rename, but her initials are Wendy Wilson Leatherman, I would love to have snuck up behind the groom and just went, blah, 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 because I guarantee you, he'd have won a frog jumping contest by a mile. He was tight. The wedding was supposed to start at 3. And if you were in the area yesterday, what was it doing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? It was raining. So what, Paul? It was an outdoor wedding. When we pulled up, they had transformed their front yard into this large tent with tables and chairs for eating and this large area that looked out over this beautiful view of the valley with chairs and plants that the wife had grown for this occasion. And they had trellises and pictures, and it was raining. And so when we got there at 2 o'clock, because I wanted to try to get to know all these people, no rehearsal, it was raining. At 3 o'clock, it was still raining. At 3:15, it was still raining. And I was starting to get a kind of a chuckle out of everybody, because people would walk out the door of the garage and come back in and go, "I think it's going to quit raining." And I would look out at that black sky and go, "Well, how much have you had to drink?" At 3:30, it quit raining. And everybody said, "Let's go do this." "Okay, let's go." And so out the door we all went. I had on my coat, my tie, my book. I'm ready to go. We all go down there. People are starting to take their seats at 3:30. And what happens? You can say it. It started raining again. But then at about 10 minutes to 4, it quit. And suddenly everything got real. And at 4 o'clock, I performed the ceremony. And the young man and the young woman were married. And it was wonderful. Right as soon as the ceremony ended, I saw something that caught me by surprise. I saw the title for the sermon right there. When the ceremony ended and we were all going down and finding our place under the tent and we were having the snacks and the appetizers, I looked up and I saw my friend who had been in a very fancy suit with nice shoes. He had his nice alligator cowboy boots on and they was looking sharp. And I said to Wendy, I said, "I need to get me a pair of alligator boots." And she said, "Why? You'll just mess them up." That's not very funny. Might be true. Suddenly my buddy had changed from this suit into grilling clothes and proceeded to fire up grills and cook for the, 100 people that were there. He started cooking right away. All this other stuff was going on. His beautiful daughter in her gown was going around and they were having their pictures taken. And my man was back up in the corner where nobody could see him cooking away. And I thought, that's beautiful. But it got better. Of course, you know, as with tradition, you have the welcoming of the bridal party, and then we welcome you for the first time, although I already said it. Every time I go to a wedding and go to a wedding reception, the DJ, after I've married them and said these words at the end of the wedding, "I would now like to introduce you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. whomever you are," and they kiss and they go up the aisle, the DJs always say the same thing. Now, let us welcome for the first time, Mr. and Ms. No, this is the second time. But I never say anything because I don't want to not get fed. You know, they might not give me a piece of cake. I looked up there and he's still cooking. And so now it's time for the dances. You know, the first dance as the couple, he's up there cooking. The first dance with the groom and his mother, he's up there cooking. The first dance with the groom and his grandmother, he's up there cooking. The first dance with, this is the first time I ever saw that, with the mother and daughter, he's up there cooking. And then there was a little brief pause and they were starting to get things ready. And suddenly I heard the words, and now it's time for the daddy-daughter dance. And I looked and he's coming down through the tent back in his suit. And he came and he scooped up his daughter, his stepdaughter. And they began to dance. And the song they danced to, I don't know who sang the song, but it talked about, I may not have been there when she was born. I may not have seen her take her first steps, but I'm here now, and I'll never miss another step in her life. And as far as I'm concerned, she's my daughter. And women everywhere, and I look over, and women, and they're bawling their eyes out. And I'm like, for what? I said, I am waiting to see if he's going to get that steak done so we can eat. And they danced. And they clapped. And I turned to look at Wendy and I said, what's up with you? She's over here. And I look and he's gone. And when I look again, he's changed back into his grilling clothes. And he's back up at the grill going away after it. And then it hit me. I watched that man. A friend of mine who asked me to do this wedding for his daughter because she was beautiful to him and he wanted her to have everything right. I watched him from the time we got there in his suit direct traffic in the rain. I watched him greeting folks and loving on them and thanking them for coming. I watched him moving this and that, following whatever direction was told him without question. I watched him carrying heavy things. I watched him take his leaf blower down and blow off the chairs for everybody to sit on dry chairs twice. I watched that man change from a suit to grilling clothes, back to a suit, back to grilling clothes to take care of his daughter. And the whole time this wedding was going on, he was right there at a moment's notice. And that's when it hit me. I began to think about all the things that we saw this past week. What struck me when we went out onto the beach, when we were out on the boardwalk, and it brought it all home. The minute the ceremony was over, he changed. And then he changed back, and I watched this take place, and I thought about the moms and dads at the beach. All of us have been around little children when we take them out somewhere. And it's like herding cats. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. When it becomes a memory, in the moment, you're like, come here, don't stop. Put that down. Get that out of your mouth. Come here. Come here. What's going on with you? And all you can think about is, I'm on vacation. But you're right there. Always right there. In this scripture that we have in Deuteronomy, we are looking at God talking about being right there. He says these words in the 29th verse. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God who is going on before you will fight for you. For you. That is a statement out of the Bible that ought to be beat into chiseled rock somewhere. The Lord your God will fight for you. For you. How powerful is that to think of? We often hear, I helped that guy any way I could. But how many times do you hear someone say, I will fight for you? The writer is talking about the transference to Joshua. He is becoming the leader. He has much to fear. He feels alone. as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached the place. You know what that transfers into? You know what that equates to? Right there. Our Savior, our Christ, our love, the sacrifice of all ages is always right there. And at first, we're a whole lot like them little kids. We don't pay attention. I watch these kids at the beach, little kids. They ran at the water as hard as they could go, knowing full good and well that when that water reached them, it was going to knock them on their rear end. And they didn't care. And right behind them was Mom and Dad, grabbing them at the last minute. We were at the pool at the hotel, and there was a little kid that was running toward the pool, toward the deep end, as hard as he could go. He was determined that his little water wings were going to save him from the world. And at the last minute, and I mean at the last minute, his little pity went up in the air, and Dad went, "Come here!" And he started crying. And Mom came over, and she's like, "Don't play up there," and took him back to the one-foot pool. They have no fear. And yet, we're always right there. Then we come to that age. You know what age I'm talking about. You don't want no help. You know everything. You're strong. You're great. There's an old saying that says, when I was 18, or when I was 16, I was sure that my father knew almost everything there was. And when I turned 18, I was surprised that my father knew very little. And by the time I was 21, I was even more surprised as to how much he had learned in that short period of time. We get to that age, and it's a long period of time. It starts at about adolescence and lasts until you're about 80. On some people, and probably me be one of them, where you think you can do everything. You don't need any help. You've got it all figured out. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this. I got this figured out. I'm going to make this happen. And here we go. Boom! What happened? Why didn't that work? And still, someone is right there. Watching, keeping, holding on to you. We read these words in Isaiah chapter 43. Verses 1 through 3. But this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob. He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Right there. In our world, in our time, we often find ourselves at that next stage in life, where we are lost, where we are scared, where we are hurt, where we don't know what's going on. And that is the stage where our Christ shines the greatest. It's at those moments, those who would give that chance to have that understanding would come to know that Jesus Christ died to save you, to take you out of that misery, to take you out of, if I dare say it, your own personal hell. He's right there. Right there at the water's edge, ready to pull you back at the edge of the pool. Right there seeing that everything is taken care of. That even in the midst of all of the chaos of your life, there is a calming place. There is Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to think of things like that. I found it funny when I researched this. Because once I light into it, everyone's going to know it, and they're going to smile, and you're going to nod your head, and you're going to go, "Okay, I got it." But even in something as simple as a poem, sometimes there's chaos. This poem that I'm going to read to you may have started in 1789 with a simple line from a writing. It may have come about in the late 1800s from a Walt Whitman poem. It may have come about from a line in a newspaper in the 1920s. It may have been written by somebody in 1936, but by the time it had gained its popularity, there are people today claiming they wrote it first. And when I read the whole story of it, I had to laugh because none of them wrote it. They were all inspired by our Savior. So I'm going to read it, and I'm not going to claim who wrote it because I don't know, and I'm not getting messed up into that. But it's a poem that should have been called Right There. See if you know this poem. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed the scenes from his life. And for each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand, and he noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome, fearsome times of my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. And the Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I still think it should have been called Right There. I, for one, am thankful. I, for one, love these scriptures. I, for one, hear the words that Jesus spoke in John 16. Jesus saw they wanted to ask him something about this, and he said to them, why are you asking one another when I meant what I said? In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. When her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into this world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I will tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy shall be complete, because I will always be right there. In your grief, in your joy, in your times of trouble, in your loneliness, in your hopelessness, I am right there. In your joy, I am right there. When you need me, I am right there. I watched this past week the total fulfilling of those words. The fathers, the mothers, the loved ones that showed what right there was. And if we close our eyes for a minute and we consider our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did, we will be blessed to know he is always right there. Take that with you this week, brothers and sisters. Be comforted and be lifted up from it. And use that to lift up those around you who may not realize that Jesus Christ is right there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In these moments, in this time, we are reminded constantly, over and over again, we know it. But I think you send us these reminders with a smile. You know that we are not yet righteous. You know that we need you. You know that we need your constant care and companionship. And Father, we have it. We have it. What a blessing it is to know you, Father. What a blessing it is to know that you gave your only begotten Son. That we have that everlasting life because we believe in him. Let us be strengthened knowing he is always right there. And let us be strengthened and able to share that with those around us, Father. Watch over and keep us in this week to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close out this last hymn, once again, the prayer bench is open. And if you are on the other side of that camera and you do not know Jesus Christ, today is the day. Find him. Reach out to those around you who may know. And if all else fails, reach out to me and we'll talk. May God bless and keep each and every one of you.